Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, A Wonderful Approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are doing radio. We're in the classroom. We go to the classroom to learn, build, discover, honestly, to teach as well, learn, teach. If you're not learning while you're teaching and teaching while you're learning, you're doing this all wrong. And today is one of those particular topics. Today is one of those things where we're really going to get into a little bit of the nook and cranny of how all this works. We're going to get into the ministry of ministry, you know. How do we make this work? So I'm looking forward to it. I want everyone, I'm going to be fair, to notice this program is an hour. So don't wait until 9 o'clock to press 1. You know, usually at 9 o'clock I see my phone line kind of jump up, and I'm like, so I just need you to know we're only going to 9 o'clock tonight, okay? So pay attention. You want to speak. You want to share. You got to press 1. Whenever you hear, whenever you get that motion, whenever you're like, yeah, I need to say something on that, or just want to say hello. You know, last week was an interesting week. I love every show. Every show is different for whatever reason, whether it's the day, whether it's how the topic came about, you know, no matter what, every show is different. And last week was no different from the difference. Last week we had the free-spirited woman, what I like to call the wild woman. And Sister Melissa was on the line with us, and it was awesome. We got to connect. We got to say some things that some people just hold in their heart forever. Brother Ibrahim came on, and, you know, he's such a man's man and wants to defend men and advocate for men. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he came and shared some different views and positions. You know, this is the time for this. Like I said, we got to learn. We have to be able to listen to each other and find out where, how we differ, so we can find out, you know, is there anything wrong with differing? What I find a lot of times is when I disagree, it's just me. It's fine. But it was a great show. It was a great show. If you want to listen to it, want to tune in, want to hear what we had to say, all you have to do is go into awonderfulapproach.com, or you can go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page, and you'll see all the programs there, okay? But it was really good and a lot of fun speaking about that free-spirited woman. And, you know, one of the takeaways that I had from it was, I know for me, you know, there was a point where Sister Melissa said, if I wasn't free-spirited, I would have never tried this. I would have never done that. I wouldn't be where I was because I would be constantly holding back, you know. And I thought that was very interesting. And she made me think, you know, if I wasn't this free-spirited woman, if I wasn't, you know, wild, rebellious, call it what you want, but if I wasn't that person, if I had fear in my heart, if I let other people's thoughts and opinions hold me, and I definitely would not be where I am now. And so it was really, really good to think about what your, you know, for lack of better words, where is your rebellion taking you? What have you had to fight against? What societal norms did you say, nope, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to do my own thing, and this is where I am. And so it was really good. I really hope, you know, all the programs are available. You can listen to later. But I really hope that some of our young people, some of our young women, before they allow society tell them what to dress, what to wear, how to look, how many children to have, you know, how much money and what type of men they should be dealing with, before the world tells them that and dictates their life to them, I really hope some of them take an opportunity to kind of ask themselves, what do I want to do? You know, if I wanted to break tradition, what would I do? What would I do differently? And so it was a great show. It was a really, really good show. I want you to take a chance and listen to it if you haven't already. All right, so today's show, The Ministry. This woke me up this morning, okay? So I love the story of how the show came to be. And this one woke me up this morning. You know, I got a text at 6-something in the morning talking about Mama 7. Didn't you say classes are starting soon? Winter classes. And I was super, super excited to hear, you know, people interested in classes because come the first of the year, you know, we do classes. The Odoo class comes up. The Aleke class comes up. We're going to be having a couple of spirituality classes, impact classes. And I know Mother Khadija is going to be doing, I think, her mediumship class. So we have classes coming up. But when I saw that at the crack of dawn this morning, I opened my eyes and was like, yeah, this is what I signed up to do. This is part of that ministry. This is in line with what I'm seeking and what I've asked God for and what God has granted me. You know, a lot of times whenever I get overwhelmed, and I do, whenever I get, you know, if you could see, oh, my goodness, the state of my house. I have like 10 projects that I'm trying to wrap up in the next 48 hours. Yeah, you do the math, okay? Forget sleep, forget work or anything. I got 10 projects I got to wrap up in the next 48 hours, right? And so whenever I get to this point and I'm like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to bring all this together? I always have to thank God for trusting me with this process. I thank God for giving me the instructions of this process. And then I find ways to move forward. Okay? I find ways to keep moving forward. So in what pushes me is the ministry. Okay? So winter classes, I got it. First call. I have a ministry on this, and this. I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, good Lord, it's only 7 o'clock. You know, Seth, we got ministries at 7 o'clock. We don't have a ministry at 9. You know, you're not going to let me blink my eyes real good. No, Mama 7. I'm going to wake you up with the idea of ministry in my heart. I have a ministry that is in shake. I got a purpose. I feel a purpose within me that's calling me deeply. And I'm like, okay, I'm listening. Okay, all right. How do we put this in place? How do I help encourage someone who's trying to encourage the masses? How do we begin to make sure that we're properly prepared for the work and the call of ministry? How do we do this? How do we do this? And so 7 o'clock this morning, I'm like, okay, you know, all these wonderful reminders of the ministry. I had to make a phone call. Hey, talk to me about the ministry. Talk to me about working full. Talk to me about serving the people. Because I had to look up the word, because anytime a word pops up more than 2-3 times with me, I got to look up the word. So I'm looking up the word ministry, and it is to serve. That's what it is. It's to serve. And so it's like, okay, all right. I do that on the regular. I'm ready. That's not a problem. Okay? The spiritual work or service of any, quote, Christian group, especially evangelism, and we know what evangelism is. That's out preaching the word. The work or vocation of a minister of religion. And then the example is he's in training for ministry. Oh, okay. So ministry takes training. I got it. We get it. We understand, right? So I wanted to have this conversation about ministry because it followed me all day. So I reach out to my group. I reach out to the ones that pour into me. And I'm like, hey, what is ministry to you? How do you translate ministry? And better yet, how do you express it? What do you call expressing ministry? And I got some great information, like I always do. But I got a couple of different understandings. You know, one was the service of God. Other one was the service of the people. And another one was just service. You know, just, you know, if you're out there doing the work, any work, that's ministry. And I'm like, all right. And so just when I thought I got this down, just when I thought, okay, I'm ready to, I had already said, you know what, this by 12 o'clock, I had already said, you know, this topic isn't leaving me alone. I got to go ahead and have more conversations. I really, really want to talk about ministry tonight. I want to speak to people that are in the process and in the business of assisting others on that level. And, you know, one thing about A Wonderful Approach is that we are full of that. I encourage that. You know, Wonderful Approach is wonderful, and I love it, but there's so many different, we come from different backgrounds, we have different understandings. I mean, we come from different religious understandings, so we are different all together, individually. You know, we're almost like the beautiful, individually made snowflakes to the avalanche. You know what I'm saying? Now, when you have an avalanche coming, you're not looking at individual little pieces of snow. You're looking at this whole mountain about to bury you. That's what you're looking at. But really, those are individual, a bunch of individual snowflakes that have been designed to come together. You see? So that's what A Wonderful Approach is. And A Wonderful Approach is that way because myself, I come from Mother Eagle Ministries, which is that way. We were always allowed to be our individual selves. We were always allowed to bring our base knowledge into Mother Eagle Ministries. And we worked together, and everyone had their ministry. Everyone had a way of serving, and every level of service was respected. And that was that. That made you want to serve. Now, if your method of serving isn't respected, then you're not going to really want to do it, right? So, like, if you're part of the, and I've seen this, the parking lot ministry. Now, one, you know, like, the parking lot don't need no minister. That's asphalt. No, the asphalt doesn't, but the people walking on it might. The elders that are getting their car, getting out of their cars, trying to get out and go to church, they might need it. You know, I know for a fact when we're doing, you know, we do the guided meditations, and Lord knows we are everywhere. I got a setup crew, they got to come help me set up, and I got a takedown crew that helps me set. There's not any way one person can do it. And if you don't think the setup crew is important, it is. You got to maneuver and get there before everybody else does. And when setup crew helps to make sure that Mom 7 is not dog tired when I get there and I get started. And the cleanup crew, I think, may be the hardest crew because by the time I'm done, everybody's tired. You don't want to move. Everyone's exhausted. And now you got to go ahead and get everything back in order and everything like that. So, you know, ministry is ministry. And I think we all do it to a degree, but I also think it's important that you intentionally do it. I think it's important that you understand what is being asked of you in order to complete the assignment that has been placed upon you. You know, mostly when you feel a ministry, you can't help it. You can't avoid it. Using ministries is not even something that you want to do. A ministry is something like you have to do. I have to do this or I'm going to explode. So when you have this ministry on your heart, you know, I want to know, how do you manage it? How do you manage it? How are you going to keep yourself sane and not run yourself ragged all the time? You know, how do you not become obsessed and possessed with doing this? You know, how do you make sure that you are truly serving the people and not serving yourself? How are you going to manage all this? So this is the discussion, and I promise you, it started off innocently. It started with a text, and then a call, and then another call, and then another call. And then by the time I said, okay, that's it, 12 o'clock, we're calling it, this is the show, I had a woman from my job sit down and said, hey, I need to know the answer to this question. And now she knows me as a counselor. See, this is what I do during the day. I said, sure, okay, no problem. She said, what's the difference between a burden and a blessing? I said, what? She said, what is the difference between a burden and a blessing? And at first, I'm like, is this some not joke? What? You know, I was like, do you have an answer? She says, no, I want to know from you. What is the difference between a burden and a blessing? And I sat there for a minute, and what I didn't realize is that the whole office is sitting there looking at me, and I'm like, oh, snap. And at that time, I only answer I could come up with was perspective. What is your perspective? Because if you are not highly, and I say high, like when we make our prayers to the Most High, if you're not highly inspired and governed, then everything will feel like a burden. Everything. Tying your shoes will feel like a burden. You know, oh, I got to go wash dishes. Oh, I got to go do this. You know? So back in my young life, before I had anything really, hot water was a privilege, okay? We're not always guaranteed to have hot water. I'm not ashamed of where I came from. My beginning life was kind of humble, all right? And so washing dishes in warm water actually feels good when you are challenged as such, right? So what's the difference between the burden of having to wash the dishes and the blessing of the water being warm and you appreciating the warm water and everything else like that? What's the difference? The only difference is perspective. Perspective, how are you going to take it? What are you going to make it? And so even though she had not been privy to the text, the call, what she did to me, what she did for me was to further validate the need to understand ministry. Because if you don't understand ministry, you will always see the burden. Now, just because you change your perspective doesn't mean that the burden goes away. Because it doesn't. The work is still there. It's still there. Dishes still piled sky high. Still, that baby still crying at night. Whatever burden you can think of, it's still there. It's still requiring your time, your energy, your anything, your essence, your anything. What changes it is your perspective. What elevates it is the ministry. You see what I'm saying? What's the difference between skipping breakfast and fasting? The intention, the perspective. One of them is I woke up late, didn't have time, I'll catch it later, blah, blah, blah. The other one is when you wake up on time, you are intentional in your prayers and you are foregoing this meal on purpose with intention. That's been elevated. That is now a ministry. It's a service that you're doing. Do you see the difference? So on one hand, your stomach, whether you woke up late, rushed and didn't get it, or whether your intention to do it, your stomach's still growling. The burden of the fast is still there. You know what I'm saying? But because we have a different perspective, because we're being intentional with our energy, we can now elevate the sacrifice, and it can become a ministry. Ministry is when you're doing it over and over consistently. Ministry is when you're doing it for the divine purpose of serving God. That's ministry. And so I wanted to continue the conversation because I could not get enough. I couldn't get enough, and obviously because Spirit kept bringing it to me all day, all night, because Spirit kept bringing it to me, I knew, I was like, okay, I'm hearing it. That's what I'm saying in my heart, right? I hear you, God. I see you, Spirit. I see you putting all these people in place to help jar, and that was my idea. I'm getting jarred to remember this. I'm getting jarred to have this conversation. Why are you serving, daughter? Why are you doing this work? What are you working toward? How do we check your intentions? And everybody knows this is the week before the before, okay? We're moving into the season. We are smack in the middle of Mother's Study. We smack in the middle of the November event. We're doing the work. We are here. Okay? So I'm not surprised that this is coming up. You know, we're going to be signing our contracts. We're going to be working to make sure that we are on target. We are on God's target. So I'm not at all surprised that the idea of ministry has come up. I have a feeling that this is a segue into Saturday to where Spirit's going to say, what is your ministry? What are you doing? How are you elevating the work that you're doing? Because a lot of times we're already doing the work. We're already doing the work. We just have to elevate it. So please, if you'd like to join the conversation, please press 1. Join the conversation. Let's have some real words shared, or even more words shared, about your ministry and what does that look like in your life. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to ask you. Hello, greetings, welcome, caller, wonderful. Tell me about your ministry. That's what I'm going to say. And then I'm going to say, what does that look like? What does that look like to you? What does it feel like? And it's okay if you're in the thinking stages of your ministry. It's okay if you've been doing your ministry for years, because I promise you, a wonderful approach has gone through evolutions after evolution. Every November, it has a new, in my opinion, a new level of depth that comes through. Every November, there is an intentional sharing of new things and new energies. So as we grow as an organization, as we grow as individuals, as we do all this, our work becomes very clear, or it should. And sometimes the work says, okay, pull up here, go deeper there. That's always my thing. You know, pull up, daughter. And I'm like, ooh. I don't want to pull up. Pull up. You're doing too much over here. Oh, I don't want to. I was just getting some traction. No. We need to go through this every year. That's why the first of the year readings are so important, because you need to know kind of like where to put your energy. Some of us don't have just one ministry. We'll have multiple passions, but it won't be we can't push on everything at one time. In this cute little apartment, I have 2 doors. I can't push on both doors at the same time. So I need to know, which door do I stand by? Where's the opportunity coming? Is it coming to the front door or the back door? And there's one of these windows, I need to make sure I can lift it up, okay? But this is why we get the information ahead of time so that we can go ahead and move forward in that, okay? All right, look, I got one caller I want to speak. I love this topic. I love helping and encouraging people in their ministry. And I know I got some dynamos. All right, let's see here. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Love and Light family, Love and Light. How are you?
Greetings, Sister Makita. How you doing?
I am great.
I know I have said something on point. If I can get you to press one. I know it. So, and I know this is a topic near and dear to your heart, all the conversations we've had about it. So tell me about your ministry. Tell me about ministry.
Ministry is a blessing once you move out of the way. When you move yourself out of the way and let God do what God has to do, and you're fully the vessel, you'll see all kind of things open up and all type of blessings will happen. And you'll end up having all types of side conversations. Ooh, I needed that. Ooh, thank you.
Amen.
So I think I called you when I would stop the midday power up with healing hands. So Spirit was like, okay, this is what you have to do. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like, they gave me the whole format and everything in 20 minutes. And I could not move out of my driveway until I came inside, set it up, and had it on the schedule. And I'm like, you know, if you would have told me, like, last night or told me I could do it late, I would have done it. But it was just like, but I needed you to do it now. So it's a sense of urgency that comes with it, where it's bigger than me. It's not about me. So I felt that I could have waited, but whoever needed the message that I had to deliver, it had to happen then. So everything came together in less than an hour. And the format, everything. And it's been beautiful every single time. And there are times I had to do the show from my car. because I was doing something else, but I had it on my phone, and Spirit had already gave it to me. It was like, sometimes I'll get the affirmations before the message or the message before the affirmation. And it was like, you need to do all of this, because in the middle of a long week, sometimes that's all we need. We can't do the hour and a half, or be in the classroom right there. But if we can get 15, 20 minutes to boot, drop a seed, then we can take that, and then we can go do our research, and then we can sit in the classroom. Then we can appreciate the other things because the seeds have been planted. So that's a part of what I do is I'm planting seeds, and I'm going to hook you up with the resources so that you can do the things that you need to do so I can help you on this journey. And sometimes we don't realize how helpful we are until it's already in full motion. So I've had people call afterwards like, oh, my goodness, and then share their story with me. And I was like, wow, I didn't know any of that. You just told me to do this, and I was obedient. So that's one thing that ministry also does. It forces you to be obedient. It forces you to stay on task because it's bigger than you, and it's not just you. You know?
Absolutely.
I was ripping. I was like, I got time because I'm going to do this and do this. I had my little wonderful Wednesday planned out. It ain't go anywhere planned because a crisis jumped off. This happened, that happened, this happened. I'm like, okay. But in the middle of it, I'm like, I still got to get my shrine duties done before my show starts. And all my tiny humans were helping. So my Umiettes were in line. It was like, okay, Umi, I got this glass. I got that glass. So we all doing all kind of stuff. And it ended up with a shop and everything afterwards. I was like, God, I thank you. Because I needed that. So just me being obedient and having the little tiny humans watching me be obedient, they knew that once I did this or once I played this music, that it was time to do this. It was time to pray. It was time to do all these other little things. And I'm helping with their foundation. I'm doing my part in setting the foundation so that when they are not around me and they do have those moments, I can remind them, remember when? well, now it's time for you to do that as an adult, you know, not just
absolutely.
I'm
absolutely.
For that. But
and you
for
do
me,
such a good job of it.
Ooh,
you do an absolutely great job of it. I mean, I remember that we came down for Family Fun Day in Vance. And I never been to Vance, South Carolina, and had to Google it up on the map to make sure there was such a thing called a Vance and if I could drive there. And I remember you bringing just the community together in such a huge way, in a huge way. I had never been part of a, you know, of such an event like that. And so, and I got to speak, and it was absolutely awesome. And some of those relationships that were made, I think, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, are still intact and even stronger, you know. So what I find about ministry is that when you meet people along your path, you'll keep building with them. We build in and out of each other, you know what I'm saying? So I am thankful for the ministry that you do because I know, and I don't know if you know this or not, but you like my mama. You work with the women folk, and I'd be like, ooh, ooh wee. y'all are special. Ooh, give me a knucklehead any day. Oh, my goodness. But that's why it has to be a ministry because the work is, you have to be passionate about it. You got to care, you know, and if you can't care, I'm going to ask you to go sit down. You know, you need to care about the peoples and about the work and about, so absolutely. Thank you, dear sister, for calling and pressing that one and letting us know about your ministry. And say the name of it one more time.
Healing Hands Therapeutic Spiritualist. We have the Midday Power Up every Wednesday at noon.
There you go. Hey, family, I need you to pay attention. We have ministries working all around us. We may not realize it at the time, but they're working constantly around us. One thing that Sister Makita said, and I don't know if you heard her clearly, but she is doing the power up, which is, you know, that is exactly what it says, a power up. I'm reaching out to people. She works with those millennials, and those millennials, I'd be like, ooh, especially the women folks. She passionately just gives. And give and give. Where the balance comes from, how you do anything else, I don't know. But one thing she said that I got to always make note of, and she talked about them babies. The children are such a big part of what we do. I know, you know, I was right before the program, I was speaking to my youngest, and I was telling him, I said, hey, you know, we're having the event at the house. November's coming. I need your prayers tight. And he was like, yeah, and, you know, I got it, Mom, I got it. And, I mean, that warms my heart to know that, you know, he's without me having to micromanage his prayer, he is voluntarily keeping his prayers up. And you know, he prays, he does Islamic prayers as his majority prayer, his first prayer language is these Islamic prayers. And so he's praying in a whole other language. And he's keeping that. I don't know what other 17-year-olds are doing that. You know what I'm saying? So when Sister Makita said, yeah, my grandkids know, I play my music, whether it's gospel music, the drums, whatever you listening to, and they automatically know it's time for us to spend time with ancestors. It's time we're going to do something. They know that means we're coming to this table to do this work. That's what they know. Do you know how amazing that is? Now, you can train children to do anything. Barney has taught us, look, if you've seen the cleanup song, they're going to clean up. And you've seen the night-night song, they start going to sleep. But you know what that comes from? Repetition, right? So that lets me know that she is keeping up that shrine. Because anytime the kids automatically know that this equals that, you've done it. You've taught it. You've lived it. You've seen it. Enough so that children who don't pay attention, sometimes pay attention, whatever, to the point that children can recognize it. I remember when I was, I think it's been almost 2 years now that Tyler has had his second Sora, and I was teaching it to him, and he was picking it up so fast. I was like, oh, my God. I'm thinking, oh, he must be a genius. Oh, my goodness, this is the next, you know, Marabu. Okay, this is the next, you know, guru, the next. And I was like, wow, I cannot believe how quickly you picked that up. He says, Mom, you say that prayer all the time. I already know that prayer. And I was like, oh. And I had to stop and think, you know, how wonderful it is that our children can pick up positive things about us. And we don't even have to direct it at them. If we're doing it, they're going to know automatically. So, you know, really, what are we teaching our children? Because I know all of the intentional lessons that I have been taught along the way, and then I got to see it. So when I was getting taught the lessons, I really didn't see it. I was just getting taught. I didn't see it. But I remember when my aunt would go down in the middle of Atlanta, and she's done mission work. She's done a lot of work. But she would get a big old pot of chili and some hot dogs and some bread, and she would go down into the middle of the city in Atlanta, and she would take my boy, and she would just hand out food, a cup of chili, hot dog, some bread. And I got to see them seeing service. Now, I've always done it, organizations, college, sororities. I've always been involved in service, every single step of the way. But to see my young children, because they were young at the time, you know, my 10-year-old, my oldest was 10, and he was down there working. When they see you, when they see your family doing this work, it naturally becomes a part of them. At that point, you don't have to teach it. You just got to keep doing what you're doing because they're going to already pick it up. You know, I can tell you a wonderful approach is the outward appearance might be a little different, but a lot of the internal driving is shaped after Mother Eagle Ministries, which is my mother's program. So, again, you know, they say the apple don't far too fall from the tree. What is your tree doing? So, look, got a caller. Timing, divine timing. Got a caller. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Greetings. Okay. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe caller called back. But absolutely, we got to teach the babies. We got to encourage the babies. We got to make sure that our children know what the ministry is and how they're supposed to be operating within it. You know, hold on. Let's see if I can grab this call now. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings, family. Can you hear me?
I got you now.
Okay. All right, I am enjoying what I am hearing, and I just want to say to Sister Makita, music is also a major part of my process, the healing process, any type of spiritual work, that process, and also my creative process. In fact, I just had a conversation about you know, that whole creative piece and how what my process is in going into, you know, being creative. And music is a major, major part of it. So I just want to say ashe to you on that. Ministry.
So, Mom, ministry. You have had the opportunity to be in ministry in a very unique kind of way. You have seen some people working from, I remember being 9 and 10 years old, being part of your girls group, Aruhu Sasa, and, I mean, you've been working in the community, in different spiritual houses. You do the work. So what is ministry? What is ministry to you?
Ministry to me is a divine calling. It is a mm-hmm. divine charge from the Most High. And that can take you anywhere from passing out hugs to, you know, having a church mm-hmm. to, you know, doing whatever it is that you do. It's what you're charged to do. It's how you're supposed to. It's basically the purpose in your life and what you're supposed mm-hmm. to do with it. Now, it involves heeding a call or answering the call. Because, you know, a lot of people, I don't know what my ministry is. Okay, you've got to be able to listen. So you've got to heed mm-hmm. that call when it comes your way. You have to apply what you've heard. So you can't have yes. a ministry in your head. You have to apply what you've heard. Mm-hmm. And then you got to do the work. So that's basically mm-hmm. the three components that I have experienced in my many ministries. You know, heeding that call, answering the call. Yes, Lord, mm-hmm. I'm willing. You know, yes. just give me some direction here, and applying it, applying what you hear, not going off into tangents and doing what you want, but applying what the Most High has given you, and then doing the work. So that's basically how I apply. You know, define ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I do have a ministry, Mother Eagle Ministries, and I know a lot of your callers have heard about the super retreats and Mother Eagle Ministry doing, you know, different things, and that's because Seven is my daughter, and I know she got a big boost working with Mother Eagle Ministries. Mm-hmm. But we actually started back in 1991. I was working with helping women journey through this whole spiritual path, doing readings, doing baths, and that sort of thing. And by 2006, Spirit said, you know, these women that you're working with, that's all well and good, but you got to take it to the next level. So at that point, we started doing some workshops. We started doing retreats, weekend retreats out in the woods at Seaside. We were doing the morning camp, mm-hmm. which is a purging and healing weekend ritual program. We started doing the Rites of Passage program, which most of us know what a Rites of Passage program is for women. Haven't done any for children yet or any for men yet. And then we also have a go-give program. Now, that's very important, a go-give program, because, you know, faith without works is dead. You've got to be able to put your finger on something tangible that your faith has called you to do, that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So service is a big part of Mother Eagle Ministries. And right now we have a two feeding programs. I also work with the homeless. The feeding programs are in Haiti. I have traveled since 97 back and forth to Haiti, and we established, actually I picked up Haiti We Hear You, which is our feeding program in Haiti, from my brother who went to Haiti to do an educational evaluation. And after he passed it on to me, Haiti We Hear You. So that is the name of our feeding program. We have branched out and now have a feeding program in Ghana. And we feed families every single month. Christmas and Easter time, we up the ante and feed more families. And, you know, we're able to give a little bit more because I do some fundraising. So mm-hmm. just for those who don't know, I just want to say one thing about what Mother Eagle Ministries does. We, of course, do the retreat. We do MISA, spiritual wellness workshops, readings and spiritual consultations, and womb cleansings. There's a whole list, mm-hmm. litany of things that we're involved in because I do outsource many of the things that I have listed to other mm-hmm. competent spiritualists like
right.
Mama Seven. And some of my other friends that do work that I don't necessarily do or don't find pleasing. So, I try to say
all the time, I said, look, we all not the baby kissing kind of priest. Okay, we not all the baby kissers. Okay, so absolutely. I wanted to share that we're going to be working together on the marathon on November 23rd. I want you to pay attention, family. November 23rd. Look for it. Okay, I'm not going to say no more about it, but November 23rd, we're going to just keep building up to that, you know.
November 23rd, yes.
November 23rd.
I mentioned a marathon to a sister friend of mine, you know, a telephone conversation, and she said, oh, you run marathons? And I just had to tell her, I said, no, I'm not in that kind of shape.
right.
This is a radio marathon.
Yes.
So,
I don't know. We may have a couple of athletes that will come through and do it. I don't know. But, you know, it's
that would be
important.
Awesome.
Okay. But it's important to understand how these ministries work together. You'll find when you find one organization and they're kind of sitting by themselves, I would question that. I really would, just me personally, because no one is an island unto themselves. We're all working together in a collaborative way, trying to help people get good in their position with the Most High. That's our job. That's what we do. So absolutely. So I have a question, though. You know, because I work with multiple spiritual leaders, different kinds of spiritual leaders, how do you keep the main thing the main thing? How do you not burn yourself out? Because you do so much. How do you not do that?
Well, I always say that one of my strengths is pacing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's because I have a one-track mind. I like to do something, and I like to finish it, and then I like to move on to the next thing. I'm not real good at multitasking.
I love
I think, what did you say?
I said I love multitasking. I'll find any reason to multitask. Okay.
Yeah. and some people are just naturally multitaskers, but I'm not. So I like to do a thing, and I like to see it through to the end, and then I like to move on to the next thing. I think that keeps me from burnout, and it also gives me a sense of accomplishment when I can start something at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then by 2 o'clock, I'm finished it, and then I can move on to the next thing. I'm the kind of person that does the things to-do list every day.
Yeah.
So after I make my prayers in the morning, I'm sitting at my kitchen table writing out the things that have to get done that day. So I think that kind of organization and that kind of processing for me is what keeps me from getting burnout.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, because we desperately, desperately need to understand how to not let this take over. You know what I'm saying? We want to do a good job. We want to represent, but we don't want it to kill us. Okay? We want to maintain. Okay? So thank you, Mama Khadija, so much for sharing. And November 23rd.
November 23rd.
That's right. You know, I really, this has been, I'm telling you, all day today, I have been obsessed and possessed with this idea of ministry. I know for a fact that, you know, God has been asking me, we want you to do this. We want you to go here. We want you to go there. I know I have felt the pull, and now it's not even a pull. It's a straight push. Just whoop, that's where you are. That's where you're going. And I understand it. I respect it. I know it's time. And so, you know, there's a level of surrender. You know, I know when it comes to God, I always try to make sure within my heart there is no resistance. There's no resistance. That's my job, to make sure that my heart is pure and ready to work. And so when it comes to this ministry, and I just want to encourage, I'm blessed to know others that have passions and drives. You know, I'm blessed to know I'm not by myself in this. You know, I know others really want to feel the pressure.
They want to do good work. They want to work for the people. They want to see the people doing, they want the people to see them working, you know, setting that good example. So I am ever so thankful for the good examples that are placed around me, that God is very intentional about the energy. I'm going to take this half seconds to encourage others. Look, if you feel it, I don't care who else feels it, if you feel that this is the time, this is what you need to do, I promise you there's a lesson in it. Go ahead and do it. Now, did I say that there's a success in it? No, I did not. Don't be trying to put words in my mouth. I remember speaking, and I have to speak quickly because we're moving into prayer. But I remember this one lady, she said, I want to do my art. I said, do it, girl. She said, and I want to be rich by doing it. I said, oh, hold up now. I can't promise you rich. I can promise that you'll enjoy it. I can promise that it'll be a bonding moment between you and your child. I can promise that it's going to define who you are as a person. But I can't promise rich. Well, since when did rich become a measurement of happiness? You know, since when did rich become a measurement of good work even? So let's go and start working on how we get ourselves good without it being this. You know, how do we help God? How do we do our work for the people, with the people? However, how do we do that work in an intentional manner to assist others, to build? This is the things I'm encouraging you to think about, okay? And make sure that you are very clear about why you're doing this. You know, what is the calling? Are you doing it to spread culture? Are you doing it to right a wrong? Are you doing it to encourage others to do it? Like, what? Don't forget why you're doing this. Don't forget what makes this so very important to you and to anybody else. Okay? All right. Moving into the very thing that helps us be stable, moving into the positive energies that are going to help us build, moving into the life that we say that we're going to have, the people we say we want to be, the energies that we say we want to build on. Okay? So moving into prayer, Father, Mother, God, we come before you humbly to move forward in the fullness of ourselves. We come before you to do the good work that others may not be able to. We come before you to be that good example of how to live a full life under God's jurisdiction. We come before you to teach others how their life can be better, enhanced with the knowledge and understanding and relationship that they can gain with God. God, we come before you thankful at this time when the veil is thin, this time when ancestors are close, their ears are close. We give thanks for our ancestors that have stepped before us and have learned lessons so that we don't have to. We come before you thankful that they put their blessings on our blessings and make our blessings full, make our words whole, make our hearts lift so that we're not bogged down with the heaviness of this world. God, for those that don't have a personal relationship with you, I ask that you come and shine their light, shine your light in their life, allow them to see a little bit more, lighten their heavy hearts, pull them from where they are to where they need to be, which is with you, under your guidance. Allow the faithful to be strengthened so they can continue to be the pillars that hold our communities up. Allow our leaders to be righteous in all that they do. so that they can help guide the sheep. God, I ask that you continue to bless us. Bless us with health. Bless us with family. Bless us with good people around us. Bless us because we need it and may not even deserve it. I ask these things in your name. Amen.